Thank you very much. Your testimony was quite enlightening. I will start off the questioning, and for this first question, I would submit it to all three panelists. Some groups have speculated that pollen from genetically modified crops could be a contributing factor to the development and spread of CCD. What's your belief with regard to that question?
Mr. Chairman, we've reviewed the literature related to the availability of GMO pollen and its use by bees, and we don't find any significant findings that would suggest that GMO crops contribute to CCD.
That was also a finding of our committee, NRC Committee on Status of Pollinators. The review of the available literature not in the context of CCD, but in the context of honeybee decline.
We've also been looking at that in our studies, and what we've seen is that the reported toxins that are in these plants are very species specific, that they impact moths and butterflies and beetles, but there's no evidence that they impact bees, and we have no evidence to suggest that symptoms that we have would be like those that you would expect to see with the BT toxin.
Thank you. Dr. Rexroad, in your testimony you state that the varroa mite is becoming resistant to many miticides. Can you discuss the alternative miticides under development and how your research is working to minimize the long-term resistance?
We think that in the long term that the real approach is to develop genetic resistance in the bees. One of our main strategies right now are to breed bees, introduce gene lines where they will have resistance to varroa mites so that the bee itself can overcome the resistance, can overcome the varroa mites as opposed to having to treat them with miticides.
Okay. As well as a follow-up question, in your written testimony, you indicate that in the future, ARS will involve researchers from all ARS labs with the CCD working group. Can you comment on that?
Yes, it is our intention to be a full participant in the working group. We appreciate the leadership that we have had from you working with the universities on this, and all of the labs have a different contribution to make. Genetic resistance to varroa mites, we work on our lab in Baton Rouge. Our laboratory in Beltsville has a lot of expertise in diseases of bees, so each one brings a different aspect or contribution to working on CCD.
What's your time frame for making this happen? It seems to me that this is an urgent question, so it's imperative that we get to work on this right away.
It's an ongoing process. We had a very early response to the challenge of CCD, where a number of our investigators have already worked with the coalition, consortium, and have already gone out to assess what the problems might be associated with CCD, and are trying to work close and are working closely with universities on that. They are continuing the work they do in a very focused way on CCD, on varroa mites and others. And in addition, we've put together a long-term project related to feeding of bee colonies, where we hope that improved or enhanced nutrition will increase the bee colony resistance to whatever the CCD factors are. So it's an ongoing process in addition to the strategic plan that we're looking for from the consortium group, which will help us focus our research in the future.
I want to go a little deeper into this, Dr. Rexroad, because it seems to me that this is an urgent crisis that it demands urgent attention. I understand there's a long-term plan to get there, but it seems to me that there needs to be short-term urgency within the department about this. Could you speak more specifically to the timelines with which you're planning to proceed?
Yes, we do plan to proceed immediately with the nutrition studies, putting those in place, the long-term feeding studies. It's a five-year study that will begin as the funds are available. Within the department, our state funding agency, CSRES, is also looking at what they can do in the short term on critical issues, and then planning in the fall to have the ability then out of those issues to be able to recognize what kind of requests for proposals might be best suited to serving this particular issue. So we are focusing the funds that we already have within our labs. We're changing the projects that are currently ongoing to focus more specifically on CCD.
I think we're going to hear in the future, in just a few moments, from some of the beekeepers that they believe that there's an urgent crisis impending, that the CCD situation is bad and getting worse rapidly. I think one of my folks from my district is going to testify to the fact that just this year, when you normally see the beehives increase in size while they're in the orchard, they're decreasing. That indicates to me that Congress is going to be incredibly interested in how we can accelerate the research into this problem in a much more rapid fashion than what I'm hearing. That doesn't mean you're not trying to do a good job. I appreciate that. But I think we're going to need to have a lot more examination of how we can put some gas to the fire on this one and get to moving. The next question I have is, best management practices are widely used in agriculture to address farm-level environmental protection issues while providing for economic returns. Are there recommended best management practices at a state or federal level for the management of bees currently in place?
So I know within the state of Pennsylvania that we have developed the best management practices and recommended those. And I think that those extend outwards to the federal areas here. Part of the problem with that best management practices is that for varroa, which has been the major killer in the last 20 years, that we're running out of controls or ways to keep that parasite in check. And we don't fully understand what it's doing with the bee diseases. So there's a lack of effective controls for that various mite out there. But there are best management practices in place, and I know that they're getting completely renovated all the time.
I don't know how much background you need, but there's a real challenge in managing honeybee problems, at least in part because they produce, honey production is for human consumption, and therefore use of pesticides has to take into consideration the fact that ultimately the product might end up in the human diet. Another problem is specificity. The varroa mite is an arthropod, just like an insect. It's really challenging to develop an agent that will kill one arthropod that doesn't kill another arthropod. So they're very closely related. And what makes this even more challenging is that honeybees don't appear to be very well equipped to deal with pesticides themselves. So this has been a thorny problem for a long time. And we now have more problems to factor in.
Thank you. I have several other questions, but at this time I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Mr. Etheridge from North Carolina. Chairman Etheridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me thank you for being here today. You know, my home state of North Carolina, we have always grown some fruits and vegetables, but in the last few years that has grown rapidly with the tobacco buyout and our proximity with the country. So this issue is not only important, but it's alarming to us too, because we're having some of the same problems. One of the things that the themes I've heard today, an observation I have, I guess, in listening to the testimony, is that we don't really know what's causing CCD, or at least there's no certainty about what one thing that is causing it. And I guess since this problem has arisen relatively quickly, is it a possibility it could be something similar to the 1980s when we had the mite problem that we have identified but never really figured out what we're going to do? So what can be done to maximize, I guess, federally supported universities in the base research that we do? And I think that question I would like to pose to Dr. Rexrode. We spend a lot of money with federal universities. Why can't we link those up in some of the things we're doing and utilize the dollars we now have out there?
I think that's an excellent question, and to some degree, I think that is happening right now with this working group, this consortium that was mentioned a few moments ago by Dr. Cox Foster, where a number of universities plus our federal labs are working together to answer the very question that you indicated, trying to discover as a first what is a primary cause of colony collapse disorder. So they have pulled their resources, their intellectual resources. I think there will be opportunities over the next few months to pool some other resources, but part of that will be through applications for grants to the funding agencies. And in addition, we will focus ourselves on this issue and put out some resources in terms of nutrition and those kinds of interventions for the bee colonies.
Well, let me follow that up because I think Chairman touched on it. Is there a short-term strategy and a long-term strategy, or is it just a strategy?
One answer.
So we have obtained some emergency funding. It's rather limited in scope. We greatly appreciate everything that we've gained. It's through the beekeeper organizations and National Honey Board to tackle this problem directly. So we have a gap that we foresee here in proceeding, going beyond our initial studies that we're looking at the causes directly and fully resolving the issue here. And that's part of the problem. So as you may be well aware of, for the granting process, it usually takes a full year at least before you submit the grant and you actually get the monies to do the work. And at the national level here, there is a limited amount of monies out there to explore all insect-related problems, both at the field, the applied levels, and at the basic research. And the competition for those dollars has greatly increased. So the number of grants that are being funding is down below, I think, 10% with USDA, and we are competing, trying hard to compete with other federal agencies like National Science Foundation, and even some researchers are finding a way to tailor their research to fit into National Institutes of Health. But there is this lack of where we can figure out how to get monies. We are, for some of us, figuring out how to gain state emergency funds, some of which...
Well, let me ask you a question. Who's the clearinghouse on this?
Yeah, if I may, our federal funding agencies, CSRE, yes, they do have some short-term funds available under something called critical issues, which they will apply to looking at some of the issues of CCD to help the universities prepare for the granting cycle, which is a longer-term issue.
The reason I ask that question is that, you know, we're reaching out to a number of places,
yes,
and it seems to me the USDA would be the ideal place to,
yes,
be a clearinghouse because it, so we're working together for one goal.
That's certainly true. There's also multi-state projects that already exist on bees where the states do have some discretion in the use of those funds so they can turn those immediately to CCD.
And we're gathering that data at USDA so we aren't repeating.
Yes.
Okay. My time is about out. Dr. Birnbaum, you mentioned something that I thought was probably a good idea, a best practice management plan for people who put their land in conservation programs like CRP. I always say that it's a little bit easier to solve a problem if everyone pitches in, and there's a lot of people using these programs right now. What kind of things could these individual landowners do to help solve the problem or deal with this problem?
Well, there's a number of programs that provide opportunities for pollinator sustainability, for managing wild populations. One reason we may be so utterly dependent on this one species for commercial pollination is that through habitat loss, through urbanization and industrialization, we've lost native pollinators that used to provide this service for free, essentially. Among the possible programs, there's cost share programs of USDA include the Wildlife Habitat Incentives Program, the Environmental Quality Incentives Program. The land retirement programs include the Conservation Reserve Program, the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, and Conservation Security Program. CRP can explicitly incorporate pollinator habitat into the environmental benefits index that's used to evaluate land parcel proposals, and CSP could incorporate the value of pollinator habitat development into its determination of the stewardship tiers that are the basis for federal payments. USDA cost-sharing, land retirement, and product stewardship programs should be available to producers of all commodities that depend on pollinators. There's an organization called the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation, and I'm at the moment president of the society, has as its mission the promoting conservation of some of the world's least charismatic animals. And it's been working with the National Research, the Natural Resource Conservation Service to incorporate native pollinators into farm bill programs at the national and state level. And I know the Xerces Society is happy to offer its time and expertise to congressional staffers for language for the farm bill and its programs to help achieve this goal. But again, pollinator management sustainability programs are a long-term solution to this pressing problem.
Thank you.
I'm going to turn this over in just a second to my colleague, Mr. Davis from Tennessee, but I'm going to make this observation now so that you can might possibly integrate it into your testimony as we go forward. A few years back when I was in the state legislature in California, we discovered the glassy-winged sharpshooter problem in Temecula, California. We went down there, did a hearing on it. The standardized method by which we were doing university research for that particular pest wasn't adequate for dealing with the crisis. So we had to come up with, very quickly, increased emergency methods to deal with that problem. We did that through state funding, through industry funding, and finally the federal government caught up. This time we're finding this problem more on the federal level first, but we need to bring, it's sort of like ringing a fire bell and having all hands come to fight the fire together. It's time to call out the bucket brigade and get everybody pitching in. And so that's why I'm making this observation. And I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Mr. Davis, for his question period.